Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to IndiGo's fourth quarter and full year fiscal 2016 financial results conference call. My name is Zaid and I will be your coordinator. At this time, the participants are in a listen-only mode. A question and answer session will follow today's management discussion. As a reminder, today's conference call is being recorded. I would now like to turn the call over to your moderator, Mr. Ankur Goel, Director of Investor Relations for IndiGo. Thank you and over to you.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining us for the fourth quarter and full year fiscal 2016 earnings conference call. I have with me our President and Whole-Time Director, Aditya Ghosh, our Chief Financial Officer, Pankaj Madan, our Chief Commercial Officer, Sanjay Kumar, and our Chief Aircraft Acquisition and Financing Officer, Riyaz Peer Mohammed. Before we begin, please note that today's discussion may contain some statements on our business or financials, which may be construed as forward-looking. Our actual results may be materially different from these forward-looking statements. A transcript of today's call will also be archived on our website. The information provided on this call is as of today's date, and we undertake no obligation to update this information subsequently. And with that, over to our President and Whole-Time Director, Aditya Ghosh.
Good evening, everyone, and thank you for joining us on this call. We declared our fourth quarter and full year financial results today, and I'm pleased to announce an eighth consecutive year of profitability. Also, the Board of Directors is pleased to recommend a final dividend of 15 rupees per share for shareholders' approval at the annual general meeting. For the quarter ended March 2016, our pre-tax profitability was 8.1 billion rupees, and for the full year, our pre-tax profitability was 28.3 billion rupees. Profit after tax for the fourth quarter was 5.8 billion rupees. For the full year, profit after tax was 19.9 billion rupees, which was the highest ever in our history. We continue to use the low-cost fuel opportunity to lower fares and register strong increases in passenger numbers. As you're aware, we have a firm order with Airbus for 430 A320neo aircraft, and we've just started taking deliveries from this order. As of today, we are operating three A320neo aircraft and have received our fourth Neo this afternoon. We expect to take delivery of an additional 20 A320neo aircraft during the 2017 fiscal year. Now, there has been a fair amount of controversy surrounding the delays regarding the entry into service of the NEOs. These delivery delays have been due to certain engine issues, primarily related to the cooling down and startup time for the Pratt & Whitney geared turbofan engines. This engine cool down issue slows the engine start process and impacts our ability to turn aircraft around quickly, which is an essential part of our low-cost business model. Pratt & Whitney has been aggressively working on these issues, and at this time, we have a fair amount of confidence that most of these issues would be addressed before the end of this year. Since the introduction into our fleet from the 18th of March up to 24th of April, the three A320neos have had a technical dispatch reliability of 99.02%. which compares to 99.94% for the A320 Classics for the same operational period. Clearly, I mean, we expect the NEOs to have better operating reliability than the A320 Classics, and we continue to work with Pratt & Whitney and Airbus to make that happen. While somewhat early to declare victory with the limited data that we have, so far we are pleased that the NEOs are generating on average, about 13% in fuel savings as compared to the A320 Classics without shocklets. These fuel savings are fundamental to our business model and will allow us to continue to grow profitably and provide lower fares to our customers. Of the 430 A320neo aircraft that we have on order, we have selected Pratt & Whitney geared turbofan engine for the first 150 of these aircraft, and still need to order engines for the remaining 280. The other engine that is scheduled to be on the A320neos is the CFM LeapX engine, which is expected to enter into service this year by other airlines. We are eagerly looking forward to learning from the experience that other airlines will have with the CFM LeapX engine. It will be a good opportunity for us to compare the actual operating performance of two engines before we decide on the engine choice for the remaining 280 aircraft that we have on order with Airbus. Now, coming to our network, we started flying to the city of Dehradun from the 1st of March 2016. We have three daily flights from Delhi and further connecting flights from Mumbai, Bangalore, and Hyderabad. Now, consistent with our network expansion strategy, this was our third new destination last financial year. With this, we now operate to 35 destinations in India and 5 international destinations. At the end of March, we operated a peak of 731 daily flights, including our international operations. For the three-month period, January through March 16, our average technical dispatch reliability was 99.94%. Our average on-time performance was 81.6%. And our average flight cancellation rate was 0.39%. I would like to take this opportunity to mention that Indigo was also chosen as an Aon Best Employer India 2016. And all of these were made possible by the dedication of our employees who work hard every day to provide the best operation and customer service in the industry. We also continue to focus on our corporate social responsibility program, Indigo Reach, to reach the underprivileged. Third child campaign of the SOS Children's Village provides an opportunity to adopt a child and support their education, health, and well-being. So far, 243 children are being sponsored by 183 employees. We were supporting 100 Mensa kids as part of our celebrations on the equation of delivery of our 100th aircraft last quarter. We will now be working on getting these children admitted to English medium private schools. The education fee for all these 100 children will be borne by Indigo right up to their college graduation. We've also adopted the Dhela village at Jim Corbett under the Swachh Bharat campaign and installed toilets in various households. Actually, with this, let me hand it over to Pankaj for an overview of our financials. Pankaj.
Thank you, Aditya, and good evening, everyone. For the quarter ending March 2016, we have reported a profit after tax of 5.8 billion rupees, an increase of 0.3% over the same period last year. The profit after tax for the full year was 19.9 billion rupees, an increase of 52.6% compared to last year. For the quarter ending March 2016, we have reported a pre-tax profit of 8.1 billion rupees, a decline of 7.5% over the same period last year. PBT was impacted due to higher depreciation costs on account of component accounting and depreciation in rupee, thereby impacting our costs. On a full year basis, we have reported a PBT of 28.3 billion rupees for the year ending March 2016, which is a growth of 53.2% compared to last year. We recorded EBITDA of 15.5 billion rupees with EBITDA margin of 37.8%. for the quarter ending March 2016, as against EBITDA of 14.1 billion rupees with EBITDA margin of 36.9% for the same period last year. We have delivered earning per share of 16.08 rupees in March 2016 quarter. We've added 7 aircrafts during the March 2016 quarter, including 3 NEOs. Our total capacity for the fourth quarter of FY15-16 was 11.4 billion ASKs, which is an increase of 19.3% over the same quarter of the prior year. Indigo's total passengers increased to 8.9 million in the March quarter, which is an increase of 24.3% over the same quarter of the prior year. Our total revenue from operations during the fourth quarter was 40.9 billion rupees, an increase of 7% year over year. Our passenger revenue was 35.35 billion rupees, growing at 5.4%, and ancillary revenue was 5.32 billion rupees, growing at a pace of 17.6% over the same quarter last year. On a full year basis, our total operating revenue was 161.4 billion rupees, an increase of 15.9% over last year. Our passenger revenue was 140.62 billion rupees, an increase of 14.4% compared to last year. Our ancillary revenue was 20.02 billion rupees, an increase of 27.3% over last year. Our revenue per available seat kilometer, or RASK, for the quarter ending March 2016 was 3.64 rupees, down by 9.5% from 4.02 rupees compared to the same period last year. For the year ending March 2016, our RASK was 3.78 rupees, down by 4.2% from 3.95 rupees compared to last year. Our average fares have reduced from 4,667 rupees in March quarter last year to 3,958 rupees in March quarter this year, a decline of 15.2%, reflecting lower airfares as we benefit from lower fuel prices. Our fourth quarter load factor was 85.1%, up 2.3 points from the same quarter of last year. Our fourth quarter cost per available seat kilometer, or CASK, of 2.92 rupees was lower by 5.7% as compared to the same quarter of 2015. On a year-over-year basis, the 2016 CASK of 3.12 rupees was lower by 8.9% as compared to the prior year. This is on account of the average fuel price for 2016 being 29.5% lower than the prior year. Our CASK excluding fuel was 2.02 rupees for the fourth quarter, an increase of 9.9% compared to the same period last year, and 2.01 rupees for the full year of 2016, an increase of 11.5% compared to the prior year. Indian rupee depreciation by 5.8% against the USD in March 2016 quarter compared to the same quarter last year adversely impacted our cost base. Our employee benefit cost increased by 44.2% compared to the same period last year. This increase was attributed to 20% increase in capacity, 8% on account of ESOPs issued during the IPO, and the balance on account of inflationary wage increases and excess bench of operating staff. The excess staffing was primarily the result of not receiving the number of A320neos that we were expecting from Airbus. With the neo deliveries getting back on track, we expect our surplus staffing to gradually get absorbed in the system. As I mentioned in the last call, component accounting and ESOPs have adversely impacted our costs. The depreciation booked in the quarter ended March 2016 was higher by 291 million rupees compared to the same period last year and higher by 1.7 billion rupees for the full year. These large year-over-year increases in depreciation expenses will largely go away beginning with the first quarter of the new fiscal, since we would have caught up with the new component accounting rules. We also incurred an expense of 270 million rupees this quarter on account of ESOPs issued last year. We ended the quarter with a total debt of 32 billion rupees, all towards aircraft. We do not have any working capital debt. As I mentioned in our IPO prospectus, we were to use the majority of our IPO proceeds towards retiring of debt on 8 aircrafts. We have already retired the debt for 5 of our aircrafts, totaling to 6.7 billion rupees from our primary proceeds in quarter 4. We have also retired debt of 4.9 billion rupees from our primary proceeds for another 3 aircrafts in this month of April 2016. Our total cash as of March 31st, 2016 was 60.47 billion rupees, including IPO proceeds, out of which 22.62 billion rupees was free cash and 37.84 billion rupees was restricted cash. At the end of the fiscal year 2016, our total cash as a percentage of the last 12 months revenue was 37.7%, equivalent to 4.52 months of last 12 months revenue. Also, I wanted to point out that there is another update on Indian Accounting Standards or IND AS. Historically, Indigo has been preparing its financial statements in accordance with the Indian GAAP standard. However, beginning 1st April 2016, certain companies in India, including Indigo, are required to comply with IND AS. Accordingly, our first quarter results for fiscal 2017 year will be prepared in accordance with IND AS. We will also provide all previous comparative information as per IND AS. The IND AS accounting standard is based on IFRS standard that is well recognized globally. Apart from differences in the presentation format, IND AS requires long-term assets and values to be liabilities to be stated at present values. We have conducted initial internal assessments on impact of IND AS on our financial statements. Let me discuss some major line items which will be impacted by the applicability of IND AS. Talking about the balance sheet, while the standard requires us to follow component accounting for fixed assets, we see no material impact as we've already adopted component accounting effective FY16. We are required to value our existing long-term assets and liabilities at present value. Since the present value will be lower than the book value, on one hand, the difference will be adjusted with the retained earnings, resulting in an increase in our net worth. And on the other hand, there will be corresponding increase in finance cost over a period of time. Now moving on to the P&L components, we do not anticipate any impact on revenue recognition. Major costs will remain unaffected. However, valuation of existing long-term liabilities at present value will result in reduction in supplementary rentals and increase in our finance cost. This will be partially offset by increase in our finance income arising out of the present valuation of our long-term assets. In summary, we anticipate that these items to broadly offset each other without materially impacting the overall profitability. The industry awaits clarity on which accounting standard, IGAAP or IND AS, will form the basis for computation of tax. As mentioned by Aditya, the board of directors have recommended a final dividend of 15 rupees per share, amounting to net final dividend of 5.4 billion rupees. Including the interim dividend issued prior to the IPO, Indigo has declared dividend of 42.83 rupees per share for the fiscal year 2016, based on the shares outstanding at the year end, amounting to net dividend of 15.4 billion rupees. Let me end by giving you some guidance on the future capacity growth for fiscal year 2017. In the press release that we had issued on 29th February of this year, we had mentioned that we expected to end the fiscal 2017 with a fleet of 131 aircraft. Now, we expect to end fiscal year 2017 with a fleet of 136 aircraft, which is expected to result in a capacity increase of 34% year over year. And for the first quarter of fiscal 2017, we expect our ASKs on a year over year basis to increase by 23%. With this, let me hand it over to Ankur.
Thank you, Aditya and Pankaj. To get in as many questions as possible, I would like to request that you limit yourself to one question per participant and one brief follow-up question if needed. And with that, we are ready for the Q&A.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use only handset while asking questions. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. To ask a question, please press star and one at this time. The
first question is from the line of David Lee from Lizards Investments. Please proceed.
Hey guys, thanks for taking my call. I have a couple of questions. First, in terms of given the fuel price environment, how much lower fuel price you're giving back to the customers? And I'm just kind of curious. Like, do you feel like if there's additional room for the give back, you can give it to pass the savings back to the customers to stimulate more demand and maximize load factor? Or you guys feel like this is fairly optimal at this point?
Hi, David. This is Aditya. So, you know, if you look at the fourth quarter, then fuel prices came down 29.5%, whereas the average fares came down, I think, about 15.2%. So clearly, you know, we're not passing on all of it back to the customers. But of course, the lower fuel prices and the lower average fares also has a positive effect on our load factors. Load factors went up 2.3 points. So we are not driving down fares. You know, there is some amount of competitive pressure from other operators as well. So while we are benefiting on the higher load factors, we think we kind of stay with how the market moves.
But do you feel like if you can, I mean, have you guys thought about this? If you lower ticket price by another 5 to 10 points, you could actually maybe even maximize your EBITDA or even, you know, increase your load factor by so much where the profit, you will make more profits, even though the margins might come down a little bit?
Yeah, that's a complex equation. And, you know, one variable changes, some other things have to change somewhere else. We are really focused on profitability. So whatever drives that, you know, that's what we chase.
Okay, great. And I jump back into queue and ask a question later.
Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Binay Singh from Morgan Stanley. Please proceed.
Hi, team. Thanks for the opportunity. My question is basically on the A320neo fuel price versus the benefit from aircraft pricing. So like you mentioned, that 13% gain that you're seeing from the new A320neo, is this adjusted for higher lease rental on the neo?
Okay, so Binay, you know, it's nothing. This is just plain, you know, fuel burn advantage for the same,
okay.
You know, same route, same, you know, plane flying for the same distance, the same payload, and
right. So in terms of the A320neo pricing, you know, like recently one of your peers globally made comments about the neo premium to CEO coming down given the fact that where crude is. So when you guys are entering into new contracts, are you seeing any pressure of that into the numbers?
Okay. So first of all, we've already financed 35 of our neos to begin with. So that takes us to sometime into the next year. Secondly, you know, this lower fuel price environment is not going to stay forever. And we've ordered airplanes for the next 10 years. And fuel being the biggest component of our cost, we just feel that any machine that structurally brings down that cost is going to be hugely beneficial for Indigo. And as fuel prices goes up, we actually stand at a huge competitive advantage over anybody else who's flying the older airplanes.
So is it is it fair to assume that for FY17, you know, the 35 planes that you ordered, on a net basis, a NEO is earnings accretive?
Yes, absolutely. 24 airplanes coming in FY17, but yes, absolutely.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pulkit Singhal from Motilal Oswal Securities. Please proceed.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my question and congrats on a good set of numbers and for announcing the dividend. Just a question on the industry supply dynamics. So while Indigo is adding 34% YOY ASK increase, and I think around, as you mentioned, 29 aircrafts in FY17, how much do you think the the industry is poised to supply in the next 1 year, in your opinion, in your research?
You know, some of the data is public, some of the data is something we read in the newspapers. What we see is market growing at a strong 20-21%, domestic market growing at 20-21%. The amount of supply that is coming in is not keeping pace with the demand that is out there. So the macro levels, we don't see much change. But yeah, let's see how the year turns out, what competition does, where fuel price goes, how much capacity comes in, and so on and so forth. But we feel very confident that this is where the opportunity is.
Right, right. So, I mean, so for instance, it's a 280 aircraft domestic market, and you're already adding 10% of it. So you wouldn't believe that another 10% could come from the industry? I mean, in your sense.
From everything, that the numbers that are out there looks unlikely, but let's see how this year turns out.
Okay. And lastly, on the employee expense, I mean, on a YOY basis for the full year, it's increased 50%. Can you help break this down into, you know, the similar way in terms of how much is due to capacity? Because capacity increased only 20%. How much is capacity? How much is wage hike? And how much is ESOPs and bench?
Yeah, it actually increased by 44%, and Pankaj can give you the breakup.
So for Q4, the employee cost increased by 44%.
I'm sorry, I'm talking about the full year FY16.
Sure. So, you know, on the full year basis, if you look at the employee cost increase of 50%, you know, our total capacity is increased by 21%. And then there is an 8% increase because of the ESOPs that we issued during the IPO. The remainder of the increase is because of inflationary wage increase and the extra bench that we were carrying in anticipation of the A320 NEOs that we talked about. And now that these NEOs are coming back in force, we will start to see those costs getting defrayed.
Thank you. The next question is in the line of Michael Beer from Citibank. Please proceed.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Thanks so much for taking my call. Can we just talk about, I guess, the competitive climate in kind of a qualitative context? Clearly, earlier in the year when Spice was a bit embattled, you had clawed back quite a bit of market share and built quite a bit of market share. That seemed to kind of reverse in the second and third quarter, and seemingly you're kind of back on your same trajectory here in the fourth quarter. How do you kind of see, I guess, FYC17 playing out based on your capacity growth? It looks as if you're likely to top 40% market share within the domestic market. So if you can just kind of speak to that in more of a qualitative sense with respect to pricing and just overall competitive climate. And then secondly, what's the kind of dividend strategy? If we look at your payout ratio in the second half versus the interim dividend, it sort of fell off there. Of course, that dividend that was paid in the first half was prior to the IPO. So just want to get a sense of how we should expect FY17 and 18 dividends to look as a percent of your adjusted income. Thanks.
Hi, Michael. So as far as the competitive environment is concerned, we look at it this way. A strong or profitable players in an environment like India, growth environment like India, is actually helpful. Second is that our lack of gaining market share in the third quarter was a bit to do with just the planes not coming in enough. Now that the planes have started coming in, you can see that our market share has started climbing up again. It's at 38.4%. Yes, it's highly likely that we would be at that 40% or cross that 40% mark this year with the capacity that we're bringing in. What happens with market share, of course, depends a little bit or a lot probably on what capacity comes in from other players as well as pricing that is out there in the marketplace. But generally speaking, we are seeing strong growth in passenger numbers. And so the macro levels haven't changed. Nothing fundamentally has changed in our business and the opportunity. As far as dividend is concerned, you'll see, again, it's in line with what we have done in previous years. Now, again, we don't have a dividend policy, but going forward, depending on what the cash requirements of the company are, what's happening in the marketplace, with what's happening at the macro level, the board will figure out, you know, whether we pay more dividend, less dividend, or no dividend. But again, from in the past, if you see, we've been a very shareholder-focused and dividend-paying stock, which is what we've done this year as well.
Okay, and then just as far as, you know, again, with respect to the competitive climate, your access to incremental slots in kind of the five key gateway cities, specifically Mumbai, you still feel as if you have bandwidth there to grow?
Yes, there is opportunity there to grow. The slots in Mumbai are a problem, and it's been like that for quite a few years. We're pushing the Mumbai airport to find ways to make it more efficient and create slots. As far as a bunch of other cities are concerned, there are slots available, and we see a lot of growth there.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Srinath Krishnan from Sundaram Mutual Fund. Please proceed.
And thank you for the opportunity. In 4Q, we have seen that realizations were sequentially down due to seasonality. But historically, the first and third quarters are pretty relatively stronger. Are you seeing similar trends in terms of pricing reviving during the quarter, during the first quarter? And secondly, you know, with lowering of fuel prices, we have seen that growth rates have shifted upwards in terms of passenger growth. If there is a reversal of fuel prices, do you think the growth rates might taper down?
Great question. First of all, you know, we actually, in our business, probably more so than many others, we don't look at our business sequentially, because what we do is look at year over year for the same period, because that then takes care of the seasonality effect that is there in our business. But you're right, generally speaking, if you see the last several years, Q1 and Q3 are the strong quarters of the year. I expect that it'll be the same going forward, unless we have something which distorts the market in a particular quarter. As far as the second question just remind me?
The passenger growth.
Just repeat that.
Yeah, you know, we have seen that the growth rates have shifted upwards with the lowering of fuel prices. Yeah.
I got it. Sorry. I passed out there for a bit. Yes, absolutely. Lower fuel prices means lower fares, means high load factors, and more passenger growth. By corollary, if fuel prices goes up and fares start climbing up, there will be some impact on load factors. But, you know, again, that's one part of the equation. Look at actually what's probably going to end up happening. As fuel prices start going up and we have these more fuel-efficient NEOs, we will be able to display a big competitive advantage over players who will have the older airplanes and may not be able to sustain the kind of cost pressures that come with high fuel prices environment.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Santosh Hiredesai from Edelweiss. Please proceed.
Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, I was just trying to get a sense of the incentives, you know, how they have moved with the induction of the NEOs. From what we've seen, I mean, we have numbers for Q1 FY16. So from then on, if I see the closing of FY16, you know, I'm looking at a number of roughly 200 odd crores of accretion to the incentives from the induction of these three NEOs. I mean, is my understanding correct for these three NEOs?
No, not really. So NEOs, incentives are a, you know, whole different bunch of game. There are various manufacturers. It's not just aircraft, so on and so forth. So no, that's not the correlation.
So you're saying whatever movement cannot be attributed just for these three NEOs coming in, it could be things beyond these three aircrafts as well.
So the
aircraft and engines put together.
So, you know, we don't give any forecasts. So if you're talking about the years.
I'm not looking at the forecast. I'm just trying to get a sense of how the incentives have moved, especially with the NEOs coming in, from where we had, in Q1 16 to what we have ending the year with, and then, of course, what we net off in our lease rentals. So I was just trying to get a sense of that. And I'm understanding that this movement would largely because of the induction of the new aircraft which we get from the OEM and nothing from what we have, we procure it in the secondary market. Is that understanding correct?
No, not quite. First of all, I mean, if you're talking about FY17, we're not going to give any.
Looking at 17. I was referring to, I mean, the credits. If I were to add up your closing FY16, I'm looking at a number of 1580 crores, both long term and short term put together. This number was about 1650 crores in Q1 FY16, end of Q1 FY16. So
okay.
I'm just looking at the movement of this number over the past.
So let me just try to explain on, you know, because you will not be able to derive from the balance sheet because there's few things happening here.
Sure.
First of all, you know, during FY16, we just took delivery of 3 NEOs. Those were the only ones we did. And the other thing that is happening is that we have also now, you know, retired the 5 aircrafts, which, you know, we had to as per the use of proceed, and that too has an implication on that line item. And, you know, the third thing that is happening is that we continue to take the deferred incentives and apply it to the P&L as a reduction to our lease cost as we fly. So there are these all three parameters, you know, that are kind of impacting that year-on-year movement.
Fair enough. That's it. Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Vineet Malu from Birla Sun Life Insurance. Please proceed.
Hi, good evening, gentlemen. You spoke about, you know, slots being a constraint in Mumbai Airport. So I just want to understand, could you talk about your growth in metro routes versus non-metro routes, given such constraint would might be there at other metros as well to some degree? And does it lead to, would it lead to pick up in pace of addition of newer routes, you know, where slots might be available?
So Mumbai is a kind of a unique situation where there are no new slots available. It helps to be a good customer of the airport and get slots as and when we are able to bring in capacity. As far as other cities are concerned, we regularly get new slots and then we connect the dots that we already are flying into. As far as growth is concerned between metro to metro, metro to non-metro and non-metro to non-metro, typically the growth is about evenly distributed amongst all three sectors. Of course, given the other complexities in India about route dispersal guidelines and things like that, but apples to apples, it's about similar growth across all sectors.
Okay, so slot availability yet not a constraint at all for you right now?
Other than Mumbai and probably Pune.
I don't know. Right. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sonal Gupta from UBS Securities. Please proceed.
Hi, good evening. Thanks for taking my question. Just on this, just wanted to understand as to how many aircrafts do we have where we would have finished the original lease term or which we have got like on a short lease, like the few 12 aircrafts that we added last year. So basically, could you quantify that number?
Hi, Sonal. This is Riyaz speaking. We have returned back 16 aircraft to the lessors out of the original order of 100 aircraft. And as and when required, we have been extending some of the aircraft. And so far, we have extended 34 aircraft out of the original 100 aircraft order. Does that answer your question?
Okay. And just on this accounting for this, so once the original lease term is over, the incentive booking is over, or when you extend it, do you extend the duration of the incentive?
It will be over.
It's over at the end of that original period.
Yeah, it is over at the end of the original period.
Okay, and just lastly on this, how many aircraft do you have which are short duration right now, which you've added to the fleet?
At the moment, we have 20 aircraft which are used aircraft, which are a very short duration of an average term of 3.5 years.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Some of the original 100 aircraft which are on 6 year leases, which are again on short duration.
Right. Sure. Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Akash Mangani from BOI AXA Investments. Please proceed.
Yeah, good evening to the team. Thanks for taking my question. Yeah, just to probe that question a bit further on the capacity that is out there in terms of the infrastructure. Now, while slot availability is an issue in Mumbai, when you go and add your new aircraft in routes like the one you did in Dehradun, how is the profitability different from Bombay, Delhi, or the top 5-6 routes, the profitability per ASK?
That's a function of how much competition there is on some of those routes. So it's not so much by distance or by the city, but in theory, if there is, you're flying to a relatively small city, but there is very little competition, the profitability could be much higher than somewhere where there's a lot of competition but a longer route.
So in your top 5-6 versus and outside of those routes, what is the variation as of now in terms of profitability per ASK?
Again, that depends from season to season because there are some shorter sectors. I'll give you an example. Delhi-Srinagar would see a lot more traffic in certain times of the year than others. But again, as we have said in the past, even our profitability amongst metro to metro, metro to non-metro, and non-metro to non-metro is fairly evenly distributed.
Okay. Okay, the other question is slightly longer term. Now, between now and FY25, I think, according to your flight schedule, you would be adding 3 times the number of planes that you have as of now, or 2.5 times. Now, that means that you'll have to expand a lot more outside the top 5-6 networks, which are actually the most profitable ones for you. So do you see, one, the infrastructure may not catch up with the addition that you guys are planning, and that could lead to much lower load factors structurally for you in case the infrastructure does not catch up in the other net routes?
Yeah, so this is a larger India question, and so first of all, when you look at the number of airplanes coming in, right, and you look at our total order, you have to take out all the airplanes that will be retiring out of our fleet at the end of whatever it is, 6-7 years, right? So the net addition of airplanes will be not the same as the airplanes on order. Number two, we are today flying to 35 airports within the country. And there are, give or take, another 30 airports in this country which can today take a A320 or a 737, narrow-body jets, which some of the competition is flying. And at 2 or 3 new airports every year, we have a lot of runway ahead of us. And again, these are not small, 500,000 population type of cities. There are several cities in this country which we don't fly to today, and if I just run off a few of them, you'll just think they're slam dunk opportunities, whether it is Mangalore or Tirupati or Vijayawada or Amritsar, Bhopal, Jodhpur. I mean, I can keep going on like this. So there's a lot of opportunity ahead of us over and above what we are already flying to.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ravi Naredi from Naredi Investments. Please proceed.
Hello.
Yes,
great. Sir, in how many days you induct a new plane in system, which route you added, and which route you have added for Neon A320?
Do you mean how many days does it take after we take delivery of an airplane?
Yeah.
Maybe 5 or 6 days.
5 and 6 days. And these three planes where you have added?
They are part of our regular network, so they fly to several cities.
Several cities. And can you charge a higher fare for these new planes?
I wish we could, but...
But in reality, you can charge? People pay for these flights also, planes also?
No, they don't.
No. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Harshad Boravke from Motilal Oswal Securities. Please proceed.
Hi. Thanks for the opportunity. So just wanted to check on your guidance of this 34%, you know, YOY ASK increase. So what is the underlying assumption for, you know, block hours And also wanted to confirm the seating capacity of NEO. It's 186 or is it higher? Thank you.
Hi, Harshad. No, the seating capacity of the NEOs that we are flying today are 180, same as the A320 Classics that we are flying.
Okay.
And the aircraft utilization number that we have assumed is about 13 hours.
13 hours. But on the NEO, we understand there was supposed to be 186 seats, right? Or will it be in the later period?
The possibility exists for it to stretch all the way up to 186. There are a whole bunch of other issues there, the comfort of the seats, whether there is a window next to it or not, and so on and so forth. But we're working with Airbus on that. But at the moment, it's all 186. That's what we've assumed in the ASK growth that is out there.
Okay. And just one thing, there was this media article about, you know, some hydraulic system problems. So have you experienced that in your new NEO planes?
Yeah, I also read it. And it looks like it's an airplane-specific issue for one other operator. We have not faced that in any of our planes. And, you know, there are these articles and there are a whole bunch of comments out there. But that, and I'm not, hopefully I won't sound too flippant, but that's in the category of noise. What we are really focused on is this airplane giving us the fuel burn advantage that we want to see of it? As I said, it's already showing a 13% fuel burn advantage. We expect over the next few years, as the performance improvement programs goes on under this engine, for this fuel burn actually to improve even further. And that's really the $50 billion bet we took a few years ago, saying fuel is the biggest chunk of our cost. What can we do to structurally bring the fuel cost, fuel burn down? What can we do that can, in a very unique structural manner, bring down our overall cost structure? And we're very, very happy with that. And as long as this plane works and as long as this plane delivers the lower fuel burn, we've scored the goal.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Alok Rawat from Karma Capital. Please proceed.
Hi, Aditya. You spoke about, in response to an earlier question, that you have not passed on the entire decline in fuel prices. However, if I look at the spread between your RASK and the CASK pertaining to fuel, that actually has come down both quarter on quarter as well as year over year. So is that right understanding? I mean, what explains the divergence?
Well, as I said, the average fares are down and the RASK is down, you know, when you look at year over year comparison. And that's driving that.
Okay, so the point I'm trying to understand is, when you say that you have not passed on the entire fuel price decline, I mean, it doesn't show up in the numbers.
Yeah. So there are two things going on. One is, as I said, the average fares are down.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, remember that there is also a 6% depreciation in the rupee. 40% of our cost is dollar denominated. The third is that when you're comparing year over year, the fourth quarter, the last year fourth quarter, which is January through March of 2015, was a somewhat of an abnormal quarter because a lot of capacity went out of the market because of some severe financial issues that one of our competitors was having, that led to fares jumping up. And all the airlines, including IndiGo, got an advantage with that. So when you compare it this fourth quarter with the last fourth quarter, that's the other issue that's going on.
Okay, pardon me for harping on this on this question for so long. But even if I look at QOQ, the decline in RASK has been much, much sharper than the decline in CASK. So again, and this is despite the load factors actually going up. So is it fair to say that you have passed on, you have lowered fares also to stimulate demand? Is that a right understanding?
Absolutely. There would have been lower fares which stimulated the demand and therefore the higher load factors. You know, I told you that you can see that there is a 2.3 per point increase in load factors.
Right.
The second bit is, again, sorry to harp back to my answer, but the comparison is not a normal comparison because of the issues that were there around capacity and
yield. I do appreciate the YY. I'm talking about the QQ, the third quarter versus fourth quarter of this fiscal year.
Okay. I got it now. So third quarter, fourth quarter, we actually just don't look at our business sequentially quarter on quarter because then it doesn't take into account the seasonality effect that is there. So we always look at our business year on year.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Praveen Sahai from Batliwala and Karani Securities. Please proceed.
Yeah, hi. I just wanted to clarify on the addition of 29 aircraft. So these are the net addition in our aircraft fleet. So in the past, we had not seen such an aggressive addition of the aircraft. So what exactly made you, to include such a high number?
Well, we're seeing a lot of opportunity out there. Market is growing. More people are beginning to travel. So we're just out there chasing that opportunity because that's what we've always felt. This is the country to be in. This is the country which is the right market for a low-cost carrier.
So do you think this 24-25% of the growth will continue?
Well, we're looking at about a 21% growth in the coming year. Let's see how the market goes after that. Again, depends on fuel prices, depends on fares, and so on and so forth. But we do know that this is a highly underpenetrated aircraft market.
And secondly, on the expenses side, if I look at the cost per ASKM, ex-fuel has increased on full-year basis 11.5%. So can you give a segregation? How much is from employee or how much is from the rentals?
So our cost per ASK ex-fuel has gone up, and that is driven by the depreciation in INR. And also the inflationary cost increase. And also there are some first off expenses this year where we do not have a comparative in the same period last year. For example, there is component accounting and ESOPs. So that also distorts the comparison year over year.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Manish Oswal from Nirmal Bang. Please proceed.
Congratulations on good set of numbers, sir. My question on the fuel side. So during the quarter, what is the fuel cost saving on per unit of consumption?
Sorry, Manish, couldn't get the question.
Hello.
Yes, could you repeat that question for us, Manish? Couldn't understand the last bit.
Yeah, my question is, during the quarter four, what is the fuel saving per unit of consumption?
So our for quarter four, our fuel cost has gone down by 36%, but that's partly offset by depreciation in INR by 6%.
Okay, so basically it's 30% net.
Yeah, I think 29.5%.
The next question is from the line of Mohsin Aziz from Maybank. Please proceed.
Hi. My question relates to the... have you done the reconciliation of your profit due to the extra cost incurred due from the delays of the NEO? So So what I'm trying to say is the additional staff cost that you have to incur, all the other overheads. Do you have a number in fourth quarter?
No, not really. We are ahead of our in our staffing as opposed to the capacity that is coming in, and that will kind of start defraying as we start getting airplanes.
Okay. Second question, if I may. Looking at your yields, in the December quarter, I noticed that IndiGo has had the highest year-on-year yield decline compared to Spice, Jetlight, and even AirAsia. And for fourth quarter, relative to Jetlight, it also seems like you're slightly more in decline. So I just want to get a sense, what's the reason behind this? Is it a necessity to fill up the planes, or is just the way the market are gelling for your new capacity growth? And that'd be all my question. Thanks.
I think so. If we take out the comparison with some of the really small players for whom it was the first year, to us, you know, what is different, of course, is our growth rate is much higher than anybody else. And so the capacity increase is far other. And really what we are focused on most in is profitability. And as compared to any other carrier, our profitability is much higher. It's the highest.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shivam Gupta from PwC Advisors. Please proceed.
Yeah, hi. My question is regarding the opening remarks around the Indian, around the new accounting standard that you'll adopt from the next quarter. So I just want to understand where this standard stands from the perspective of the operating lease of the craft that you have. Will the standard mandate you to capitalize them on the balance sheet?
So, Shivam, this is Pankaj. No, there is no impact in terms of the accounting on the operating lease.
So they will just continue to be off the balance sheet. Is that so?
That's correct.
Okay. And is this under some kind of a review where a decision needs to be taken of how it will pan out, or is this already decided matter that under this accounting standard which you are going to adopt, this will be the status quo?
So, Shivam, you know, as we are in this quarter where, you know, Ind AS is applicable, we will probably get some additional guidance on how certain P&L and balance sheet line items may be impacted. But the way things stand as of now, we do not see any impact in terms of the way we account for our operating leases.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sagar Sanghvi from JP Morgan. Please proceed.
Yeah, hi. Just wanted to know, how does the excise duty hike on fuel in this budget impact the equation? So 8% fuel savings would have gone off in that sense, right, because the duty has gone up to that extent?
Yes, but having said that, what, you know, whether it is excise duty hike or whether it is the price of fuel that goes up, what we finally see is that the total fuel cost starts going up. And that partially gets passed on to consumers as well. You would have seen that there was a fuel surcharge that we introduced earlier this month.
Right. And this is obviously a little bit of a difficult question, but crude is now almost back to $50. And, you know, at least in the fourth quarter, the run rate was much lower now. I know it's difficult to take a view, but are you guys building in a $50 kind of scenario for next year, or are you working with something lower?
Yeah, so I won't predict fuel prices. If you can, you're a better man than I am. That will impact fares, that will impact, and more importantly, I think it creates competitive pressure on some of the other players.
Okay.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Ankur Goel for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you all for joining us on this call. I hope you found this useful. Just to reiterate, a recording of this call will be made available on our website shortly, followed by a written transcript.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of IndiGo Airlines, that concludes today's conference call. Thank you all for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.